M. Aleph, Perek 41. This is the last kapitel of the first Sefer of Tehillim. So we have certainly come a long ways. We're about to finish tonight the first Sefer of Tehillim, the first of five. And it's actually, of course, significantly more than one-fifth, since we're on 41 and there are 150 kapitelach total. And this is the fourth and last kapitel that deals with David HaMelech's illness. We've been talking for the last 3 weeks, and then tonight is the fourth week, about the fact that David HaMelech spent 6 months severely ill and bedridden. And he had horrible, horrible skin disease with blisters and boils and pus filled head to toe, and he couldn't even get out of bed. And he was that way for 6 months as a punishment for Maisa with Bathsheba and for the counting of Bnei Yisrael. And we've seen the three kapitelach that David HaMelech wrote previously regarding this issue. And this kapitel will finish the kapitelach that David HaMelech wrote regarding this issue. And in this one, David HaMelech is going to discuss the attitude of towards sick person, and that David HaMelech was cured and he was allowed to begin preparations for the Beis HaMikdash. Now, even though we know that David HaMelech was not allowed to actually build the Beis HaMikdash, he did do significant amount of the preparations before finally Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash. You know, to build the Beis HaMikdash sounds very nice, but there's a lot of work that goes into it. There's materials and construction plans and equipment. And David HaMelech made a lot of those preparations and had things shipped from around the known world after he got up from his illness. So David HaMelech says, Lama Natzeach Mizmor LaDavid. For the conductor, this is a Mizmor for David. Ashrei Maskil Eldal. Happy is he who contemplates the needy. B'yom ra'a yimaltehu Hashem. On the day of evil, Hashem will liberate him. Now, what does this mean? Happy is he who contemplates dal, the needy. So the word dal actually means to lean. That's why it's used here to mean a sick person, because the sick person is leaning and has a difficult time standing up. The word dal sometimes is used in Nach to mean impoverished. A poor person is also sometimes called a dal. And in fact, we'll see the word dal used in other contexts later on in Sefer Tehillim. But right now, dal is generally thought here to mean a sick person, someone who's leaning. But it could also mean someone who is poor. So praiseworthy is he who contemplates. Now, maskil is from the word seichel, like intellect. So what does it mean to maskil the needy? To what this literally means would be to intellectualize the leanings. Which, of course, we wouldn't translate that way. The art school is contemplating the needy. So Rashi says that maskil means observing to learn what the patient needs. That when you go to see a person who's ill, a maskil is someone who's observing and seeing what the patient needs. Now the Ibn Ezra says, no, you know what maskil means? Maskil means that you're using your intellect and you're teaching and helping the sick person be comforted by telling them the cause of their illness. That it's all from Hashem, and that it's and that the purpose of illness is to cure one's soul, one's neshama. So therefore, a maskil is someone who is contemplating the situation and then telling the ill person, not contemplating the ill person. Now, the Malbi says, and doesn't like either one of those, Peshati. He says, you know what it means, maskil is adal, contemplate the needy, to learn from them. To learn from the way Hashem cares for the sick and the poor. So according to the Malbi, we could read this, Ashrei maskil eldal. Happy is he who sees and learns from the ill and the poor, how Hashem takes care of everyone according to their needs. B'yom ra'ah, on the day of evil, yamaltehu Hashem. Hashem will liberate him. On the day of evil, so Hashem will liberate him. What exactly does that mean? It means that Hashem will liberate him on the day of evil. Eventually, a person realizes that only Hashem can cure. That only Hashem can provide a refuah. So on that day, Hashem liberates him. Hashem liberates him even on his most worst evil day when he's ill. Hashem liberates him by enabling him to realize that only Hashem can provide a cure. And that's called liberating him, by liberating him from thinking that the doctors and the medicines and all of these things are what's going to cure him. But on his worst day, Hashem will liberate him to realize that only Hashem can provide a cure. Now, Reb Shragel Feivel Mendelovitz, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the founder of Torah Masorah and the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Vadas, used to encourage his Talmidim to give tzedakah even when they were very poor themselves. Even when technically they would have been excused from having to give tzedakah because they didn't even have what to give themselves. But he says, you know what it says in Tehillim, says Rosh Rabbah Feivel? It says, B'yom ra'ah, on your day of evil. What's more a day of evil than when a person is poor himself? He used to darshan this pasuk to tell his students to give tzedakah even when they themselves didn't have really enough for themselves. So, B'yom ra'ah, you'll tell Hashem, that Hashem will liberate you from your misconceptions and from your ideas that that cures come other from Hashem. Now, the Sforno says, you know what it means, we'll liberate him. It doesn't mean liberate the ill person. It means liberate the person who's assisting them. The person is coming here, the same person who's maskil es hadol, who's learning from the sick person, the way Hashem takes care of everybody, will then be liberated from his own misconceptions. So according to Sforno, the whole pasuk is talking about the person contemplating the ill person and realizing how Hashem provides for everybody, and that will liberate him. Awful lot of stuff, awful lot of shatim in one pasuk there. Hashem yishmereyu b'chayenu. Hashem will preserve him and bring him to life. V'usher ba'aret, and he'll be happy on earth. V'altitnehu b'nefesh oivav. And you will not give him over to the desire of his enemies. Now, Hashem will keep him alive. Who are we talking about here? Hashem will preserve him and restore him to life. So, Rashi and Sephorna say we're talking about the person who cares for the ill person. We're still talking about the person who cares for the ill person. Hashem will preserve that person, restore him to life, he'll be happy on earth, and he will not give him over to his enemies. So, nursing and caring for a sick person will result in Hashem yishmerehu v'chayehu, that will preserve you and restore you, and will not give you over to your enemies, meaning you will outlive your enemies. Your enemies will not have the joy of gloating over your demise. David HaMelech continues on to say, Hashem yisodenu, Hashem will fortify, al erish davoy, on the bed of misery, kol mishkavo hafachta v'chaloi. Even when his restfulness you have upset by his illness. Wow, that is a mouthful article put into all I say. Hashem will fortify him on the bed of misery, and even his restfulness has been upset by his illness. So Hashem is going to fortify. Now we're talking about the visitor, the person who is helping the sick person. Hashem will fortify him when he has misery. Ani amar, now the patient is going to speak. The patient says, Ani amarti, and I said when I was sick, Hashem chaneni. Hashem, show me favor, do me a chesed. Rafa'a nafshi, heal my nesham, my nefesh. Ki chatasi lach, for I have sinned against you. So the real source of all illness. Why does he say, heal my soul, rafa'a nafshi? Shouldn't he say, Rifa'ah gufi, heal my body? The boils and the blisters are all over his body, not all over his nefesh. Says David HaMelech, no, the real boils are on my nefesh. The reason that I'm ill is because of my averos. So I'm not going to ask Hashem just to cure my body, but refa'ah nafshi, cure my nefesh. Help me get rid of my averos, and then get rid of my illness. For if you just get rid of my illness and I have the same averos, it's not a refuah. The purpose of illness is to build the neshama. A physical cure that doesn't produce any additional growth on the neshama is not a refuah. So says David HaMelech, refa'ah nafshi, heal my soul. I've sinned against you. I've done averus. That's the source of my problems. Oivai yaimru rali, my foes speak evil of me. Masai yamus ve'avad shemo. When will he die and his name perish? Now, the Al-Sheikh says something very, very, very deep and very fundamental on this pasuk. David HaMelech says, my enemies will speak evil of me. What is it that David HaMelech is concerned about? So his enemies will speak evil of him. Hashem knows the truth. How many people have ever lived their whole life and no one ever said anything evil about them? Fine, some people, some tzaddikim, but I would venture to say that if our tefillah is that nobody should ever speak evil against us, got a rough go in there. He says, I don't want my foes to speak evil of me. Why? The Al-Sheikh says, when a tzaddik suffers, it's an atonement for the entire generation. And not only is it an atonement for the generation, but it shields the generation from their averos, and it's a zechus for the tzaddik himself. So the tzaddik is not just giving over some of himself to protect the generation, he's also gaining a reward for that. It says the Al-Sheikh, when is all of that possible? Only if the generation realizes that he's a tzaddik and he's doing a chesed for them. If the people think that, you know what, we're being punished because of David's averus, not because of our own averus, then David HaMelech's suffering could well be for nothing. So David HaMelech is saying, Oy va yoim rurali, they speak evil of me, they say it's my averus that are the problem. I'm giving of my whole self for the door. All they have to do in return is admit that their averus are part of the problem. And they say, Masai Yamus V'avad Shemai, and when will he die and his name perish? Now why do they care so much about David HaMelech and his name perishing? The enemies of David did not want him to build the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash and Malchus David are dependent on each other. Once there's a Beis HaMikdash, the Malchus can never leave the family of David HaMelech for eternity. They want him to die before he can build the Beis HaMikdash. Because if he dies and he has no way to build the Beis HaMikdash, they figure that they can get the Malchus away because the Malchus will not have been permanently cemented into David's family until the Beis HaMikdash is built. Now Shlomo HaMelech is going to build the Beis HaMikdash, and from that moment on, the Malchus can never leave Beis David. But they want David to die without building the Beis HaMikdash, so that they can say, listen, no Beis HaMikdash, the Malchus is not permanently David's. Maybe somebody else could be the Melech. And if this pasuk sums up so many of David's troubles in his life, and so much of his enemies. All he wants them to do is admit that some of the averos might be theirs, due to Shuva, and let him build the Beis HaMikdash. That's all he wants. Oivad Yomer Ali, my foes speak evil of me, Masai Yamus Fa'avad Shemo. When will he die and his name perish? We don't want to hear any more about this David HaMelech. We have our own ideas of who should be Melech. Ve'im ba liros shav yadaber. And if one comes to visit, he speaks falsely. Libo yachbatz avinlo, his heart gathers evil for himself. Yetze lachutz yadaber. Going out, he speaks of it. what does this mean? One comes. So the enemies come. Imbal Eros. They come to see him. Shavid Aber. And they speak insincerely. Oh, Reb David, your highness, we're so sorry that you're ill. Tisk, 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 tisk. Must be terrible. All those boils just bubbling right up there. Darn, darn, darn. Looks terrible. Oh, I do hope you feel better. But in their heart, they're gathering evil. And then he says something right. He says, Yetze lachut yidave. Upon going out, they speak of it. What does that mean? Upon going out, he speaks of it. So, Meforshim explains to Bill, is what happens is you come to visit the person. And you don't want to say anything bad in front of the person. Right? So you say, well, I'm sure you'll get better real soon. It doesn't look that bad, you know? There's a spot right over here that doesn't have any boils on it. I'm sure it's going to get better. Then when they leave the room with the sick person, what do? They huddle together and they talk. Oh, did you see this? You know what? Oh, he's never going to make it. Oh, boy. You should have seen the boils on that guy. He's not going to make it 10 minutes. All right? And you know what? Bat Sheva, I told him not to do that. And, right? If only they'd have listened to me. And if only one of our guys was Melech, right? And is that not exactly David HaMelech, how people act? You go to visit a sick person, you don't say anything negative to the sick person. But you can't leave it there. You can't just, good enough is not good enough. You have to come out, well, it didn't look, I hope he's, well, I once had a cousin that had this, and they have to talk about it. Yetei lechut yidaber, they go out and they speak about it. Because they're not sincere, says David HaMelech. If they were sincere, they wouldn't go out and then speak about it. They wouldn't be so two-faced. How many people, I remember once I knew someone that was ill, and the truth is they didn't look all that great, but nobody wanted to say anything. And then afterwards, everybody's out in the hall. I heard I had a cousin like this. That's shav yidaber. That's insincerely speaking. Devon Malk says, that's not the way that a person behaves. That's the way the enemies behave. That's the way that Rishoyim behave, is they go out and they talk about it afterwards. Now, he seems to continue in the next verse, Yachad alai, Yislechashu kol sonai, and all my enemies whisper against me, Alai yashru rali, and they plot my harm. So it seems to continue on, that's from the last passage, that's what happens. They go out and they huddle together, they speak and they start plotting, because speaking together, gossiping, only leads to more trouble. And he says, Devar b'lial yatsukbo, the result of this lawlessness, and we'll come back in a second to that word, is poured over him, v'asher shachav lo yosif lakum, and now that he lies ill, no more will he rise. So lawless poured into him means, according to Rashi, that his own averas is what poured in to make him sick. Said it in front of the word, but the result of his lawlessness, I would say I can't say better translation, I'll argue with Art Scroll, but if I were translating this, I would say the results of his wildness, the results of his I guess lawlessness is not that bad of a translation. It's a tough word to translate. Right, but the result of this is what made him sick, is poured over him. So the result of his lawlessness is poured over him. And now that he lies ill, no more will he rise. So the Medrash says that because of his lawlessness, the result of his lawlessness is poured over to him, that people accuse David HaMelech of faking his illness in order to draw out his enemies. So the law is just sort of poured over him. It's a fake. He's just trying to draw out his enemies. And now that he lies ill, no more will he rise. Well, we know David HaMelech is cured. What means no more than he rise? So Chazal tells us that there was a scroll, and on this scroll were written all of the directions for completing the Beis HaMikdash. Moshe Rabbeinu gave the scroll to Yoshua ben Nun, Yeshua ben Nun, etc., etc., to Nevi'im, all the way down to Shmuel HaNavi, and Shmuel HaNavi gave the scroll to David HaMelech, and every time the scroll was given over, the giver and the recipient had to be standing. With such a davar shekibadush, davar, such a holy thing, that both parties had to be standing. David HaMelech could not receive the scroll because he was lying in his bed. So therefore, no more will he rise. There will be no Beis HaMikdash. For David HaMelech cannot receive the scroll from Shmuel, HaNavi, until he can rise from his sickbed. Which tells us that in 6 months, David HaMelech was not able to rise from the bed. Everything we've learned in the past weeks, David HaMelech wrote without being able to get out of bed. Once David HaMelech was cured, he did rise, he took the scroll, and he immediately started preparations, and he gave the scroll over to his son Shlomo. Gam ish shalaymi asher betachtim. Even my allies, whom I trusted in, ochel lachmi, who ate my bread with me, who broke bread with me, higdil alai akiv, have raised against me to trample me. So very few people were standing by David HaMelech in his illness. David HaMelech, everybody thought that this is David HaMelech's last hurrah, if you will. But Hashem, you showed me favor, and you stood me up. You stood me up at the end of my illness and allowed me to get the scroll. And I will repay them. Now, I will repay them. David HaMelech was saying, I'm going to repay the people that were bad to me, Mida Keneged Mida. Now, hold on a second here. It's one thing to say, okay, you rose me up, and I'm going to get the scroll to the Beis HaMikdash, and you rose me up and showed everybody that I was cured. Mida Keneged Mida, David HaMelech? So David HaMelech is going to go and do vicious harm to all of his enemies now? Tell me that sounds like the David HaMelech we've been learning about. It certainly doesn't. I'm going to repay them. V'ashal malahem means repay them exactly mida keneged mida. For every drop of evilness they did to me, I'm going to do back to them. How can that be? So the Mefarshim are all over this. Because this is certainly seems out of context for the David HaMelech that we've been learning about. So there's two different approaches here. One of the Mefarshim say, you know what? David HaMelech is not just a regular person. David HaMelech is the Melech. And as such, he represents all of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, he cannot allow attacks on himself to go unanswered. And in fact, one of the things we said was the problem with David HaMelech's predecessor, Shaul, was that he was too kind. He didn't have the ability to do the really tough, harsh things. And when we learned Sefer Rus, and we learned about David HaMelech's ancestress, Rus, one of the things we asked about is, you know what, this doesn't sound like a really great beginning for David HaMelech to come from Rus. Wouldn't it have been better if he came from a straight, unbroken line of tzaddikim from Moshe Rabbeinu? Wouldn't that have, and that way, what claim could his enemies have then? A direct descendant of Moshe Rabbeinu, and a complete line of perfect tzaddikim, who would argue with such a person on the throne? Instead, we have this person that came from Rus, and we have this whole history over here, and she was a Moabite, right? And of course, the men are not allowed to convert, but the women are, but there were some people that didn't want to admit that. And the nation of Moab came from Lot. Well, what kind of beginning is that for David HaMelech? So before you say, you know what? Lot, the Moabians, were tough people. They were mean people. They're tough, mean people. In order to be a Melech, you gotta have some of that backbone. You gotta have some of that meanness. Melech has to do a lot of things. He has to put people to death. He has to lead a war. He has to do a lot of things that aren't in sync with what we think of as the kind, compassionate, elderly, grandfatherly tzaddik. So say that before Shem, that trait had to come from outside of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael's too, we couldn't do that. Shaul HaMelech was a tremendous tzaddik. A tzaddik shebe tzaddiki. But he couldn't do that. He couldn't bring himself to be mean when the time called for it. Even though that was the halacha, even though that was what Hashem told him to do, he couldn't do it. David HaMelech is the Melech, and sometimes the Melech has to do things on behalf of the nation that seem stark. So say the Mefarshim, you know what? V'ashalom alehem, I'll repay them back. They cannot attack Klal Yisrael. And I'll pay them back exactly mita k'neged mita. No more. But no less either. And that's what a king needs to be able to do, say the Mefarshim. Now, there's also a Medrash. And Rav Saji Gaon seems to say the same thing. It says that I will repay them mita k'neged mita, means for every drop of evil they did, I will do nice to them. That I will repay them mita k'neged mita with their evilness, my niceness. David HaMelech has just suffered through 6 months of utter agony, and he has been not only tormented with his illness, but tormented by his tormentors. Now he gets up and he thanks Hashem for raising him up, and he's going to build the base of Mikdash, and I'm going to repay back my enemies. What does that mean? So most of the Mefarshim seem to say that it's a mita k'neged mita. Because David HaMelech represents the nation, he's going to force himself to repay the enemies to protect Klal Yisrael. Why is it that insulting the king is a capital offense? I mean, is the king such a prideful Baal Gaiva that he can't take a little insult now and then? So if you were to make a caricature of the king and put it in the Melech and put it in the Jerusalem Times, you know, like a political cartoon, and show David HaMelech doing something inappropriate and some sort of joke, that's a capital offense. You'd be killed for that. Why is that? Because someone who chases after the king is a rodef, is a pursuer. They're pursuing all of Klal Yisrael. The king represents the nation. If the king is not seen as a strong figure, then the nation is not seen as a strong figure. By the king looking weak, it leaves Israel open to be attacked. The king and the nation must be strong at all times. So to insult the king and to belittle the stature of the king is to invite attack. And that is a capital offense. So David HaMelech had to get up from his sickbed when he was cured, and along with the joy of the scroll containing all the inyanim of the Beis HaMikdash, he had to do one other unpleasant thing. He had to pay back his enemies so that they should know that Klal Yisrael stands strong. And David HaMelech says, "Bezois yadati ki chafatzibi." And by this that I shall know you desire me, ki lo yiria oivayli, because you will not let my foes shout gleefully over me. How many, David HaMelech had so many enemies and so many tormentors, yet Hashem never let one single one of them gain the upper hand over him. That by itself is an incredible fact. All the different things, and yet they never were able to gain a foothold over David. Finally, David's going to the next page. David says, Vani Basumi, because of my integrity, Tamachtibi, you've supported me. But that's Ivani Lafanachal Ailam. Because of my integrity, now really this could be translated perhaps even better, because of my perfection. Well, we had once before that David HaMelech spoke about his perfect service of Hashem. And here he's saying, you know what, Hashem, you've supported me, you've stood me erect forever. You know why? Because of my perfect devotees Hashem. Eek. That doesn't sound like the kind of thing we hear from David HaMelech either, does it? What does he mean, my perfect service to Hashem? Does it mean that he never did a mistake? What do you mean, never made a mistake? He just spent 6 months covered head to toe with boils because he made a mistake. So perfect seems to be out the window. So how is it that he could say, you know what, because of my perfect service to Hashem, you've supported me? Oh yeah, there was that thing where I just spent 6 months covered head to toe with pus-filled boils and blisters because of that whole thing with Bathsheba, because I counted Klal Yisrael, which was sort of an initial device. But all that aside, my avoda was pretty perfect. What does he mean to say his avoda is perfect? He's talking about a very specific thing. Saying, you know, how do people come to emunah and Hashem? There's what we call emunah peshuta, which is just a faith in Hashem, and there's an emunah that comes from a person's intellectual side, from a person's intellect. From their studies, from their knowledge, from what their Rebbe told them, right, from the things they've learned from their teachers, from the things they've read. That's an intellectual-based emunah. But there's an emunah peshuta, right, that we talked about before, when David HaMelech says that Hashem is by his side, he says it in a very casual way. He's 100% confident in Hashem and the fact that Hashem is with him every moment. That emunah peshuta is what's perfect about David HaMelech. Vani besumi, I've been, because of my perfect emunah, tamachti be, you've supported me. Because you know what? Other, Shaul HaMelech did averus also, and he lost his malchus. He didn't get Hashem's support. What is it about David HaMelech that no matter what he does, Hashem doesn't leave his side for a second? You know why? Because David HaMelech knows that Hashem won't leave his side for a second. David HaMelech believes perfectly, without the slightest hesitation or flaw, that Hashem is with him and supporting him every moment. And that's what David HaMelech wanted for Klal Yisrael. Unfortunately, it's not quite as easy as it sounds. But David HaMelech's complete confidence and emunah peshuta in Hashem is what he means when he says, because of my perfect service, Hashem is supporting me. You know, there. I once heard a lecture from Rav, who's in the States, but in Eretz Yisrael, he teaches at a yeshiva that is oriented towards what we call today Baalei Teshuva. The truth is, what we call today Baalei Teshuva is really a misnomer, because the Gemara calls a Baal Teshuva a certain thing, and the Gemara, what Chazal call a Baal Teshuva is not what we call Baalei Teshuva today. But since that's the term that we all know, we'll use that term. You see, you teach at a certain yeshiva that is designed for adult Baalei Teshuva. And a lot of times he said that these adult Baalei Teshuva came to their emunah because as adults they were seeking more information about Judaism, or for whatever reason it came through a sort of intellectual basis. And he said that they often feel that is a greatly superior thing. He said they sometimes look around and they want to know why everybody who was born Jewish isn't sitting in yeshiva exploring their relationship with Hashem like they are. He says, you know what I tell them? I tell them, he said, you're right. What you have is a terrific thing. And many people who were born in frum families will never have that. But a person born into a family that teaches him about emunah and betachan in Hashem has an emunah peshuta that a Baal Teshuva can never have. An emunah peshuta is a complete faith that is not subject to one's intellect. One doesn't have to think about it, one doesn't have to chazer it over, one doesn't have to read inspiring stories about it. That's intellect. It says, David HaMelech, my service is perfect. I never for a moment in my life faltered in my absolute knowledge that Hashem is with me every second. So that's what David HaMelech means. It doesn't mean, he's not saying, I don't do averus. I don't have a Yetzer Hara. He's saying, why did Hashem support me when he didn't support other people? Hashem let Shaul HaMelech fall from Malchus. He supported me because my emunah peshuta never wavered. So therefore, Hashem supported me and has stood me berek before you. And he concludes by saying, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, and blessed is Hashem, the God of Israel, me'olam ve'ad olam, from all time to eternity, Amen ve'Amen. And that's how he concludes this capital in the first Sefer of Tehillim. Ve'olam v'ad'olam, Amen ve'Amen. David HaMelech wants to give over that, and in fact, the whole theme of the first Sefer of Tehillim is that emunah peshuta. And just think of us in our time. A person is ill. A person has not even in a severe illness, Nebuch, a flu, something that feels bad, but is not generally what we would consider life-threatening. So you lay in bed, and you have a fever, and you feel terrible. How many people can say that their emunah peshuta never faltered, that they felt the entire time that Hashem is with them? That's a very difficult thing. And David HaMelech is saying, you know what, go to the sick person, see from the sick person and learn from the sick person. Don't come to the sick person to pay a token visit because there's a mitzvah of Bikur Chaylim, and then leave and go out into the hallway and be like the enemies of David HaMelech that talk over. Don't do that, says David HaMelech. Instead, go and do a sincere visit to see a sick person. What does a sincere visit mean? Learn from that sick person. Learn and see that Hashem takes care of everyone. And strengthen your own emunah from that, says David HaMelech. And then, says David HaMelech, a person will have the bracha of Tamachta v'tatziveini, that you have supported me and you have stood me erect. Very difficult thing.
Very,
very difficult. You know, I mean, David HaMelech, and part of David HaMelech lays out these concepts, and he lays them out, and they seem so simple to describe, so difficult, so difficult to do. But that was David HaMelech's goal. This is the blueprint. He's saying, yeah, you know what, it might be hard to do, but you got to try. This is what you got to do.
Did he gradually get better, or just he...
In Divrei Yom, it says he got better all at once. I don't know what all it means. 1 second, 5 minutes, but it wasn't like over weeks he got better. He, one day it was better. And when a person is ill, there's a purpose to that illness, and the purpose to the illness is to build some part, some aspects of the person's neshama. What that aspect exactly is, it depends on the person, etc., etc. But when a person is ill, a person should make a chashbon nefesh. Now, a lot of times when a person is ill, the last thing they feel like doing is making a chashbon nefesh, right? Because you got the flu, and you got the fever, and you got this. And, you know, a few months ago I had a surgery, a minor surgery. And when they're taking you into the surgery, they're about to put a thing on you, chashbon nefesh, I was thinking, can I escape from here? All right, is there any way to get out of this table and out the door before anybody notices I'm gone? Right? You know, I started off thinking chashbon nefesh, and by the time they came through with needles and questions and whatever, I was just thinking, like, how fast could I run in this hospital gown, you know, and can the doctors run faster, right? So David HaMelech, that perhaps wasn't the way David HaMelech intended for it to go. But every time a person has an illness, the goal of that illness is to build some sort of aspect of the person's neshama. So even if you can't do it while ill, a chashbon nefesh afterwards, and the proper appreciation of when you see other people ill, to work on a person's emunah, is what David HaMelech was telling us in this kapitel.